morning. I'm happy to introduce to you David and Philomena and Arthur, their son William. And Arthur is another son, and also they have a third son, young David. And we're so happy to have David come this morning and share in our message. His parents, Art and Ruth Morris, started the mission work in South India in 1950. And today, David and Philomena are continuing their work. And they also have the third generation coming along with their three sons. And Rockville Christian Church has been able to support them through these years. Since 1950, they have planted an amazing number of over 1,100 churches in South India. So we are very blessed to have them with us. We also are going to help them with their Christmas project. In December, they have Christmas programs throughout the villages. And their goal, I think this year, David said, was 500 different programs. And this brings the message of Jesus to the different villages. And we are so blessed to be able to be a part of that. We'll be sending a special gift to them for that purpose. And so we just feel like it's a real blessing that Rockville Christian Church can have this small part in the work in South India. So, David?
There's a call come ringing over the restless sea. Send the light. Send the light. And that's the words of that music, in case you didn't know it or didn't recognize it. My wife, Philomena, is here in the middle row there. And my son, William. We thank God that we're able to be with you. It was a close call getting out of India, next to the last flight on April 29th. And so we're taking opportunity of this time to visit as many of the supporting churches and talk with as many fellow believers here as we can before we go back in October. I want to talk today about the Great Commission, because that's the foundation of the mission work in South India, and indeed of all mission work and all personal evangelism, all outreach. We always come back to the Great Commission. I want the context of the Great Commission. This is Jesus talking, right? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And what does Jesus say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, one of the things I like to point out about the Great Commission is Jesus didn't say, please. Or, hey, guys, if you got a little time free, by the way, why don't you go out and, hey, I would really appreciate it. Oh, Jesus said, this is my commandment. I command you. And then what did Jesus do? He ascended into heaven. That was it. It was on his believers. It was on those who had spent those years with Jesus, on the apostles and those who had seen the miracles, those who traveled with him to create Christ's church. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. How do you do that? And we were just, you were just talking. Reach, teach, preach, baptize. And then you know what? Do it all over again. Reach, teach, preach, baptize again. And that's the way that you begin to build a church. And that's the way the South India Church of Christ Mission has been planting churches in South India since 1950. In 1948, Arthur and Ruth Morris, my parents, answered their call, because one of the things about the Great Commission, as I'm going to talk in this discussion, the Great Commission comes with a call. And each and every one of us gets a call. So when my parents got their call, they were at a church camp in southern Indiana, in Salem, Indiana. Partly because my dad is from Washington, Indiana, which is not so far from here. And he'd gone to seminary, and he helped start this Wonder Valley Christian Service Camp where Philomena and William and I have just been for 7 weeks. And when they got the call, they said, you know, Jesus told us we have to do it, and so we have to do it. And so they did. They went. And since then, they've been making disciples of the people of South India, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commands us as written in the, given to us in the New Testament and detailed through history in the Old Testament. I left for India in the summer of 1950 with a 3-year-old son, me. And so what I want to do today is just share one aspect of what I've learned growing up in and around the mission all these years. Today especially, I want to center the talk on the Great Commission and the call. Let's look at the New Testament for calls, classic examples of the calls. How about Peter? In Matthew 4, 18 to 22, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were fishing. They were fishing people. They were casting nets. And Jesus walked up to him and said, come, follow me. And they did. They left their nets and they followed him until Peter's death as a martyr. Peter, a fisherman. Now we have a lot of churches amongst the fishing people, particularly in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, because we had a tsunami. And when the tsunami came, the fishing people who had not been Christians lost their boats, lost their nets, lost parts of their families. And so we came and we responded to that. And we had a program we called 1,000 Boats and Nets to put fishing families back to work, at least one in every village, sometimes 10 in a village. So we know how hard it was for a fishing person to leave their nets, but as Jesus said, become fishers of men and women. Now let's fast forward to towards the end of Peter's life. Acts 10, 34 to 43. Here's a very mature Peter. He's lived out his call. What does he say? He's speaking to the gathering, and he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, Lord of all. You know what has happened through the promise of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses who God had already chosen. He commanded them to preach to the people and testify, he is the one who God appointed a judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. How advanced in faith such a statement. Any theologian, any Bible college graduate would be proud to be able to make such a statement. A fisherman speaking from experience because he had answered his call to the end of his life. Now, contrast that with another classic famous call, that of Paul, or as we first are introduced to him, Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts 9, 1-6, Paul writes this about himself. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him to give letters to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found anyone who was the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Lord said, arise and go in the city, and you will be told what you must do. He got his call. And for the rest of his life, until he was martyred, he reached, he preached, he baptized, and he did it over and over again. The call in fulfillment of the Great Commission. We have accounts in early church history of many young early church leaders who received their call in many different ways, fulfilling the Great Commission. Every generation, the Great Commission has not expired. It didn't have a sell-by date. It wasn't just for the first 3 centuries. It wasn't even first for the first 10 centuries. Here we are, 2021. Great Commission still applies August 1, 2021 for you and you. And me, the call. Now, you may be familiar with these names, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, Philippia, Thessalonians, Rome, all places where God, where Jesus called Paul to go and where he went. You might not be so familiar with names like Madhrapakkam, Puneri, Chennai, Kottayam, Idukki, where your fellow believers are worshiping or have worshiped and stay in communication using their phones because they're locked down and persecuted the same way that the early Christians were persecuted, the same way that Christians anywhere in the world at any time can be persecuted. It's not that persecution is only a historical fact or it's back then. It can happen at any time, culturally, socially, politically, beatings, expulsion from school, stigmatism, shamed, killed. So the call to Arthur and Ruth Morris, then the call to Philomena and me, then the call that will come to our sons and 10,000 other young leaders of the third generation, or what we call Gen 3, in over 1,100 churches of the South India Church of Christ mission. That call will happen in the middle of persecution, and right now, the middle of plague, because we are in the second wave of the plague. After all, the Delta variant, what you know as the Delta variant, is actually the India variant. Hey, we originated it, we had it first, and so we still have it, and it's killing millions of people. And the Christians are locked down. Children are starving because they can't get lunches at the school and because their parents can't work because they're locked down. You can see how inspirational the book of Acts is for the Christus Subba churches, the New Testament churches, the churches of Christ, founded by the South India Church of Christ mission. Acts is our model. Acts is what we use. The gospel is what we follow. In all this, I remember the words of a favorite hymn of Arthur and Ruth Morris. It may not be on the mountain height or over the stormy sea. It may not be in the battlefront, my God may have need of me, but if by a still small voice he calls me to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountains or plains or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be, the call. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. O Savior, if thou will be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message, sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. And so the challenge regarding the Great Commission and Jesus' call for each of us, no one escapes the call. It may not be so dramatic as what Saul experienced. It may not be that you leave your fishing nets and follow Jesus directly. But from experience, I know everyone gets a call. Now, the fact that you get a call doesn't mean you will answer or that you want to answer or you just put it on the answering machine or you delete that text. I don't want that call. Forget the call. No, Jesus gives you that call and you have to decide what you're going to do with it. It may be on the mission field of South India. It may be right here in Rockville, as we've heard in the practical work that the young people here are going to be doing. Arthur and Ruth Morris knew that Jesus and the Holy Spirit could take them from Cincinnati to Madras and plant New Testament churches there. Philomena and I knew our call was to take up that work with the other leaders of the South India Church of Christ mission. Now the Gen 3 leaders are facing their own challenges from being in high school now, when there are schools again, or in college, or recently graduated, is right now we have a total lockdown. It's a little different from state to state, but each state is locked down now till August 21st. They keep extending it. It started, it was only going to be 1 week in May, and then it got extended to the end of May, middle of June, end of June, maybe the first week of July, end of July. Here we are, 1st of August, the latest news, just got it on the phone, August 21st, locked down, no school, no work. What do you do for food? How do you stay in touch? In our case, in many of the villages and the slums, there is no internet. So people have to do it by phone. They call each other up, and can text. In some cases, if they have internet on the phone, they can even send WhatsApp messages. And we do a lot of work, particularly around the Christmas program, with the WhatsApp messages. It's very effective. But they are locked down. Groups of believers have to meet in small groups at night, late, because Christians are not allowed to go to their churches. The churches are off limits, banned. The schools that we have attached to the churches shut down. Our college is closed. We cannot have gatherings of Christians more than 10, even for funerals, much less baptisms and weddings. That's what a total lockdown means. Why does this sound to us as Christians familiar? It's how it was in the early days of Christ's church, when Christians were persecuted in the Roman Empire. They experienced the same level of persecution. I want to close with giving you a list of what the challenges for our young leaders are, for our Gen 3 leaders are. Philomena and I, as the Gen 2 leaders, we've finished 25 years of continuing to build. And as the new leadership comes in, mentored by the elders of their churches, mentored by the experienced leaders in their churches, those who've been in the faith for many years. Here's what in India, in the South India Church of Christ Mission, are the challenges for our Gen 3. Building a new hospital for infectious diseases from scratch. When I say scratch, there was a leprosy hospital there. We eradicated leprosy over 30 years. Now we need to build a whole new hospital and a whole new kind of hospital. Gen 3 will have to do that. They're starting on it right now by going to med schools, going to nursing schools, going to paratech schools to learn the technology to run the equipment that the hospital will require. We have to take the Southern Asia Christian College into the digital age by offering online classes. The good news there and that challenge is how many more people can get lessons than if they came to classes on the campus the way that we used to do it. How do we do the videos? How do we do the information in such a way that we can have thousands and tens of thousands of people get the kind of training that the college has been giving hundreds? All of this is tied to the church planting. And Gen 3 has been very effective in church planting and working with the small groups and creating small groups because they had to do it because of the persecution. Since you can't have large groups, the leadership has had to form in those small groups and stay in touch with each other. And so we have a very flexible, mobile, different kind of church than what we had even only 3 years ago. And so I want to leave you with this. Jesus commanded us go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations. What's the challenge for you? What's the challenge for you? And what is your call?